to listen to the Left Traffic Podcast.
What's up, Left Traffic Nation? I am your host, the Professor Brandon Crowd. Welcome to episode 95 of the Left Traffic Podcast. Well, Talladega definitely brought some noise with it this past weekend. Lots of drama around the race, the end of the race. Social media was a buzz for sure. Wow. Yeah, social media definitely was chirping strong on Sunday. That's for sure. I think I'll use that word, chirping. We'll get to that. That's for sure. Countdown, episode 100. Four more episodes away. So excited. Based on the Twitter poll and some tweets and some suggestions that I've got, it looks like episode 100 will be a bonus show on Thursday, November 15th. Which is cool. I'm totally excited about that. What bums me a little bit is my real job that pays me to make the mortgage payment so that I can do this fun little hobby has thrown a small wrench in it, in that I will be on a work trip earlier that week. So episode 99, unfortunately, is going to be a best of show. So Thursday, November 15th, bonus show, episode 100. I'll do some things from the normal Tuesday show that's now going to be a best of. So I'll do fantasy and some talk about the race a little bit. But the Thursday show, it's going to be, you know, a little more laid back, relaxed, and some stuff. And already working on that because I'm really excited about hitting 100. So that's where we stand there. Also, don't forget, very soon, the end of the year awards poll will be on the website for you guys as well. So just when I thought things were going to kind of slow down a little bit, I got two out-of-town weekends coming up. The first weekend of November, going to Minneapolis with some buddies for the Lions game. And then the following Sunday to Wednesday, we'll be on a work trip. So, yeah, so there's that. All right. Got a big show lined up today. Very, very excited. From the RCR Xfinity team, Mr. Matt Tift is going to be back on the show. Trucks, man, Talladega. Can't wait to talk about that. Xfinity off week, Cup at Dega, social media shout out, silly season stuff, some big silly season news. Aaron will be on, talk a little football, as you know we like to do, Michigan football at that, and we'll get the weather for Kansas, lucky dog, lap down picks, fantasy, all that good stuff. All right, let's get rolling. All right, so normally you guys know I typically lead off with the interview, but since Xfinity was off this weekend, I figured I'd talk trucks and then get into the interview with Mr. Matt Tift from the Xfinity series. So, all right, let's talk a little trucks. Grant Enfinger wins stage one at Talladega. Todd Gilliland wins stage two. And our winner, Timothy Peters. I didn't see that one coming. No one in the Lap Traffic Fantasy League saw that one coming. So, but maybe we should have seen that coming, as this is not his first trip to victory lane. Timothy Peters has won three of the last five truck races at Talladega, picking up the win in just his fourth start of 2018. And of those four starts, he's done a pretty decent job. Seventh at Martinsville, fourth at Canadian Motorsports Park, 19th at Vegas, okay, and then winning at Talladega. Not a bad season if those are your four races there. That was pretty cool. You know, one thing that I think is interesting with the truck season this year is I think more leaders have been involved in wrecks than I can ever remember. Leaders being involved definitely seems to be a common occurrence. Now, maybe a little bit more typical with Talladega, but the mere fact that it happened at Talladega, leaders getting involved in wrecks, super speedways, mile and a half, road courses in the truck series is pretty pretty unique and an interesting thing there. But that said, we did get a big one, came on lap 60 involving 10 trucks, which included the 88 of Matt Crafton and the 21 of Johnny Sauter. Sauter really didn't have much to worry about based on his worst finishing case scenario for the race. He was moving on regardless. But Crafton was not so lucky in that same boat. His fate was in the hands of the finish of the race. Worked out in his favor, but I'm sure that was a stressful finish to that race with him, having to watch that on TV, not being out there with the race in his own hands. Brett Moffitt also had some damage to his truck and throughout the day was above and below the cut line. Some great finishes by some truck drivers that we wouldn't ordinarily see. Rookie Myatt Snyder, best career finish with a second place. Jordan Anderson picked up his career best finish, a seventh. Wendell Chavez picked up his career best finish with a top five. So some career best finishes at Talladega in the truck series this past weekend was pretty cool. Veteran David Gilliland, who was out there racing with his son, which is awesome and cool, picked up a top three finish and at one point was able to push his son out to the lead. How cool is that? If you're a racing family, running in one of the top three series at NASCAR, to be out there with your kid and to be able to push him to the lead at Talladega. That's just got to be incredible. Like I said, it really kind of came down to Crafton and Ben Rhodes, who was on the show last week. And bummer for him. That sucks. Like, you know, there's not that I'm, you know, BFFs with any of these guys that come on, but some of these guys have come on the show a couple times and, you know, you never thought you'd be a such and such fan. Well, I'm a Ben Rhodes fan now because, hey, you know what? He's taken some of his valuable time to come on the show, which I am so grateful for, as of a ton of other people like Matt Tift, who's going to be on here later today. So you definitely want to root for those guys. And I knew at some point in time with the truck series, with how many guys have been on, Brett Moffitt's been, you know, that someone wasn't going to make it through that's been on the show, which kind of stinks. But you know, and Ben Rhodes was the recipient of that, unfortunately. You know, just had he been able to get back on the lead lap, I think he might have been able to pick up those spots and make it through. But unfortunately, he just was not able to get on the lead lap. So unfortunately, Ben Rhodes and Stuart Friesen are not advancing to the next round. But that said, Johnny Sauter, Justin Haley, Noah Gregson, Brett Moffitt, Matt Crafton, and Grant Enfinger are moving on to the round of six. You know, the Trek series is unique in that they knock off two guys instead of four, just based on the number of races that they're running in the playoffs. You know, so Crafton and Enfinger were lucky they were able to point their way into the next round. I don't think they're going to be as lucky to be able to point their way in to the final four at Homestead. Johnny Sauter has got a commanding lead with his five wins. You've got Gregson with a win. He's got a ton of points. Brett Moffitt with four wins is up there. Brett's only got 21-22. So there's only 4 points that are separating Moffitt, Crafton, and 5 points between Moffitt and Enfinger. So it really could come down to those guys. If one of those guys can get a win over these next three races. Now you got Martinsville coming up, which is going to be fun for these truck guys to go out there. I can't wait to watch that truck race at Martinsville. That's going to be a lot of fun to watch. You got Phoenix short track. That's going to be fun to watch. So we got some good, exciting races coming up here for trucks in the playoffs. I've said it 100 times. If you're out there trying to recruit new members to the NASCAR community, have them watch the Martinsville truck race coming up here in a couple weeks. That's just going to be one for the ages. I'm calling it right now. And that is our next truck race. Trucks are off for their final weekend of the season. We'll pick it back up Saturday, October 27th at Martinsville. Cannot wait for that one. All right, over to the Xfinity Series. I say it's time we talk to Mr. Matt Tift. All right, Lap Traffic Nation, making his third appearance on the Lap Traffic Podcast, driver of the number two American Ethanol E15 with the Richard Childress Racing Xfinity team, Mr. Matt Tiff. Matt, welcome back to the show, man. How's it going?
Good. Yeah, thanks for having me back on here again. Good to catch up again.
Absolutely. So you guys had an off week, and I know everyone was busy at the shop, but did you get to do anything fun during that off week?
I did. We took the weekend and we went over to Gatlinburg and Nashville. So that was a lot of fun.
Excellent. Excellent. I went to Nashville the first time last November and literally had no idea what I was walking into. And man, Friday night, that strip gets hopping. I literally was expecting like low key, like dive bars, wood floors, peanuts on the floor.
It's nuts, isn't it?
It is nothing like that whatsoever.
No, I think it's got more Las Vegas in it than even parts of Las Vegas have.
You know, absolutely. Like I had to ask like people like, dude, where can I find like this experience that I had built up in my mind that was going to be Nashville? And they're like, dude, you got to go about 20 miles out. I had an Uber take me out. I'm like, I want to experience what I thought I was going to get.
Yeah, no, it was definitely different, but it was a lot of fun. We enjoyed it.
That's awesome. Very cool. All right, so before we get going into serious nuts and bolts here, congratulations on making it through to the second round. That's awesome. Lap Traffic Nation is rooting for you.
No, thank you. Yeah, it was a little closer than we would have liked it to be for how well we ran the first couple of weeks, but I guess that's how all these deals go. Unless you win, you're never truly comfortable to move on to the next round.
Absolutely. So last we chatted back at Michigan International Speedway early summer, you guys kind of went through a little bit of a lull, but since Mid-Ohio, you guys have really dialed it in, 7 top tens in the last 9 races. What's been the difference for the two team late summer into early fall here for you guys?
Well, I think the biggest thing in the summer was we had a couple strange weeks with the new package there, at Michigan and Pocono. And really both of those races kind of came into a strategy situation with some rain coming in and just little things in there that kind of we just sort of played it wrong, really, with the Michigan race when the rain was supposed to be coming. So that ended up being a bad race. And Pocono, we just weren't great at. And there's definitely a few races at the beginning of the summer that, we really just kind of struggled at. We're just trying some different stuff, just trying to get back into the swing of things, kind of late summer and going back to what we knew. And certainly what worked at the beginning of the year started to work again. And, it just came down to trying to innovate and advance our cars and make them better. And I think we're able to do that. And, this last run of races have been really good. I think we've been able to prove we're a contender again. And I think we've been there all year. And I think there's races even over in that lull that we were fast. It's just maybe we had kind of some bad days in there. So it seems like we've been able to get that turned around a little bit. And of course, a weekend's never perfect. There's always going to be your struggles, but I feel like we've minimized them and gotten our notebook stronger going back to these tracks for the second time.
Excellent. All right. So you, like you mentioned, you guys had a really good start to the playoffs, a 5th at Richmond, 6th at Charlotte, 15th place finish at Dover. Can you talk a little bit about your race at Dover? You needed every bit of that 15th place finish. Talk about the race and towards the end there a little bit, pushing to pick up the needed spots to advance.
Yeah, it was strange. That was usually Dover is, I think, statistically one of my best tracks and is typically my favorite racetrack. It was not that weekend for sure. We just unloaded and man, we just struggled and never got the handle of it. And it's kind of interesting because looking back on it over the weekend, watching the race back and everything, I started to pick up on some things that I could have done differently that probably would have helped us out. I think it really goes back to Friday. I think our package was okay. Like through turns 3 and 4, we were really good. But getting through 1 and 2, I don't think I did a great job of positioning my car, holding out enough of an arc. So what that did was once we got the car turning like I needed it to on Saturday, all of a sudden I was way too loose because I finally opened up my arc getting into 1, and I just couldn't be aggressive because of that because I was so loose on landing from the hill.
You carry a lot of speed going in there to turn 1, don't you?
Oh, it's ridiculous. So it wasn't like we were that far off. But the thing is at Dover, if you're, you know, a 10th off, it really puts you mid pack. So it's just, you know, it's so tight there. And if you're not among, you know, some of the good cars there, it's really hard to make that ground back up.
Sure, sure. So you made it through 3 points. It was close all day on the board watching it, you know, from a fan perspective, you know, and it was very fun to watch on the couch. I could only imagine it was like in a car. You know, we've heard drivers say when they're in the situation of, you know, it's not guaranteed that they're making it through in the cutoff race, you know, they'll tell the crew chief, you know, tell me where I'm at all day. Don't tell me where I'm at. I know I just need to go out there and get out of the car what I can. What's Matt Tiff like? Does he do you want up to the date, you know, updates on where you're at in a situation like that? Or do you just want to be able to go out there, focus and run the race?
No, I definitely like to know where I'm at. And I think there was times at the end of the race, I probably should have requested the information a little bit more of to push it in some situations even more. But certainly I knew with us not running very well that every spot was going to be crucial. And
sure.
We only got one stage point the whole race. And I think we've been averaging, you know, somewhere between 8 and 14 the weeks before then. So that was definitely troubling that, you know, once you get into a position of not capturing stage points, you really kind of set yourself up to be in trouble there. So I knew at the end it was going to be tight. And I think we found ourselves on the final restart in the hole, actually, and was able to make up the last few spots and the last few laps there. And, you know, it was definitely not the run we wanted to have sure. to fight our way in that way. And
yeah.
Never would I have believed that going to Dover, one of my best tracks, that we would have struggled that much. But like I said, I think going back on it, we got real honest looking at the weekend. And I knew there were some things that I could have done better. And I'm sure we all could have worked ourselves a little bit better in a direction there. So
sure.
I feel like we took our lumps there and were able to learn from it. And, you know, now the rest of the season is such different tracks. And Dover being concrete, it can become such a monster in itself. I guess that's why they call it that. But
no pun intended.
Yeah, no kidding. But it can be a really tough place to get a handle of if you just get a pit off, like I said.
Well, the good thing is you are on to the next round and you're headed to the next three tracks. You've got some pretty solid finishes at. So, you know, when you look at the start of the next round, Bell and Allgaier obviously have a pretty decent lead over the field. But what is really cool, again, probably more cool from a fan perspective than a driver perspective, is that only 12 points separate third and eighth. So from a fan perspective, it's going to be a lot of fun to watch. But I would think from your perspective, you guys are headed to tracks that you've done pretty well at. So what kind of mentality do you take heading into the next round?
Well, I mean, I really don't think you mentioned those top two guys, and I felt like going in the first round that, you know, those were some of the favorites in there. And I obviously still think that they are. But I think we saw with the 7 car, I mean, shoot, he about got knocked out of that round, too. So there's sure. some really strong cars that almost all got knocked out of there. So I think what that means is nobody's safe and nobody can really truly be a favorite because anything can happen at any of these races. So I think for us, the biggest thing going into these next few weeks, especially Kansas, is evaluating our mile and a half program, how far it's come. But, you know, really Kansas kind of ends up being a race where you run it right next to the fence, you know, most of the time. So especially in the Xfinity series. So in my mind, that race kind of becomes a bit of a preview for Homestead. So the tracks where we have run the wall, I feel like have been a strong suit for us. If we're running 2/3 of the way up like Vegas, I don't know if we were that great there. So it's just, you know, you're going to have to be able to adapt and do things differently at Kansas like you will at Homestead. But then Texas is a very technical bottom-centric one groove racetrack right now, and Phoenix kind of has the short track elements to it. So
sure.
There's all kinds of different things you're looking for each and every week, and on top of it all, they throw a break in the middle of all of it between Kansas and
right.
Texas, which makes it hard to get back in the groove.
That's, you know, and that's kind of been my gripe with the truck series. I love the truck series, you know, and it's top heavy at the beginning of the season with off weeks, and it's at the bottom of the season they're heavy with off weeks. You know, 3 weeks off in round one, I just can't imagine that, you know, the team, it's hard to get in a rhythm with that, like you just said. So yeah, I, you know, to go 1 week and off a week and then back, that's definitely got to make it interesting in, you know, trying to hit that stride.
No, for sure. And I think the hard part about it is, you know, once you get back into the race weekend and everything and preparing, it's not like you feel like you're out of the groove. It's just you got to kind of mentally be able to turn it off afterwards. Because when you're in the playoffs and you're going week to week, I mean, it's intense and I really enjoy it. Like, that's my favorite part of the season. You know, I live for that intensity in there. But when you get to having that break, it's like, all right, you got to kind of turn that off for a little bit and go back and kind of take a look at things like we were able to do after Dover and evaluate your program and where you need to get better. So it's certainly tough though, and it's strange. And I wish we didn't have that in there, the 2 off weeks and 3 weeks here, but you know, we got to do what we're told to do. Absolutely. And show up when we're told to show up.
Right. Oh, I love it. All right. So Matt, real quick, I'm going to put you on the spot here, but in a fun way. So it's not going to be that big, but anyways, I'm not sure if you're aware of this or not, but there's a big game that's happening on November 24th. Apparently, it's like the 114th meeting of two schools. No big deal or anything like that. So here's what I'm thinking. I know you're an OSU guy. I'm a U of M guy. So I'm proposing a little friendly wager between you, Matt. And here's okay. what I'm putting on the table. We do an interview. MIS next year, if Michigan wins, I'm bringing you a U of M t-shirt to wear during the interview. And if OSU wins, you can bring me an Ohio State shirt and I will wear that during the interview.
I will bring you a case of Buckeyes as well with that.
I love it. We got a bet?
Yeah, we got a deal. We can do that.
Excellent. Excellent. I love it. Fantastic. Matt, tell everyone where they can follow you and the team at on social media.
Yeah, sure. It's Instagram, Twitter, and Facebook. Well, not Facebook. It's just at Matt_Tift, T-I-F-F-T, and Facebook is just Matt Tift. So, yeah, follow along on there. We post quite a bit throughout the weekends and the week, so you get to see all the stuff that's going on behind the scenes on the playoffs.
Excellent. And a quick shout-out to your sponsors this week.
Yeah, so we got American Ethanol in the car. It's the second time they've been on this year, so they got the green E15 car again. So happy to have them out there, and you know, really cool to have them out in the heartland of America, out where, you know, most of their products are based and everything. So really excited to have them on again, and you know, it certainly would be a great weekend to get them in victory lane and my first win. So we'll go try to make it happen for them.
Excellent. All right, Lap Traffic Nation, big thanks to driver, the #2 American Ethanol E15 with Richard Childress Racing, Mr. Matt Tipp. Matt, thanks so much for coming on. Really appreciate it. Good luck the rest of the season. Can't wait to reach you on.
All right. Thanks, man. I appreciate it.
Thank you so much. We'll talk to you.
All right. See you.
See you. Well, that was a lot of fun being able to talk to Matt there about the Xfinity Series, the playoffs, and hype up a little rivalry there with University of Michigan and Ohio State. One of the biggest college football rivalries. So much fun there. Definitely be hitting some social media with that there as we get closer to that big game. All right. Let's look at where we're at from the Xfinity playoffs perspective. As I mentioned, Bell Allgaier, pretty solid lead over the rest of the field. Just 5 points separate them in first and second, but they've got a 31 and 26 point lead over third place Daniel Hemric. And that's where it gets interesting. Just 12 points separate third place and eighth place. It's going to be interesting to see who's able to make it through to the round of four in the Xfinity Series, with it being so close, so few points, playoff points, rather, throughout most of the playoff drivers there. After an off week, Xfinity guys will be back at it this weekend to kick off the round of eight at Kansas, but then we'll skip Martinsville, and then we'll be back for the last three races of the season starting at Texas. I'm excited. I can't wait for the rest of the playoffs. This is when it gets good. This is when seasons are made, right? So I'm pumped about that. All right. I think it's time to talk about this cup race at Talladega. All right. Kurt Busch, Stewart Haas Racing, stage one. Kevin Harvick, Stewart Haas Racing, stage two. Winner, Eric Almirola, Stewart Haas Racing. What a performance by Stewart Haas Racing. finish stages 1 and 2, 1 through 4. Finish the race 1, 2. All right, so here's where I'm at with this. You look at last week at Dover. Everyone talked about how they ran up front 1 through 4 for a portion of the race, a portion. They ran 1-4 basically the entire race. Just a couple periods of stops did they get off cycle, and that was not for very long. You know they wanted to finish 1-4 and would have gotten it, in my opinion, had it not come down to fuel mileage race going to OT, which is odd to talk about with Dega that it goes to OT. Had it stayed green, I think we have a different outcome. I think Stewart Haas finishes 1 through 4, which I think would have been cool. Just because of the different style of a race that we saw at Talladega. Total dominance stretched out by seconds of a gap over P5 on the track. This is a race that's going to be talked about. Stewart Haas was on the map, but this solidified the season dominance with those guys going out there and doing that. I think a stronger stamp, a darker stamp, a bolder font, whatever you want to call it to describe it, had they been able to finish that way. I was shocked the rest of the field with 15 to 20 to go was not able to work out a line and make a charge. Those cars out there were literally scattered and spread all over the place. You know, it's 10 on back. I could not believe they were not able to, like, all right, hey, you might be a Chevy, I'm a Toyota. Let's get a line here and try to make something happen. They couldn't. And for a minute, I was shocked about that. But then I'm like, wait a minute. Maybe I shouldn't be so shocked about this. Maybe there's a lot of cars out here that, hey, I wasn't expecting to be able to finish Talladega with a 12th place finish. You know what? That's a good day for me. I'm cool running here, spaced out. I ain't worried about it. And I think that ended up maybe becoming the mentality of, hey, you know what? Let's let those four guys duke it out for the win. And we're going to go home with our top 5, our top 10, our top 15. And we're taking our car back in one piece. I think that ended up potentially being the mentality. And the more I look back on that, the more logical that mentality is, right? Like, yeah, hey, you can finish Talladega 10th. Would you take it? Hell yeah, I take it. Well, here you go. Here is a 10th place finish handed to you on a silver platter. So I think that's where that ended up. The mindset was with some of those teams out there. Now, unfortunately or fortunately, depending on how you look at it, it didn't finish out that way. We got a mini big one at the end that sent us to overtime. And with having to go to overtime, we saw potential race winner Kevin Harvick run out of fuel and a slew of other guys that had fuel issues because they pitted so late in the race. And, you know, it didn't make sense to come down and take fuel because of the way they were running. I don't fault that at all. And, you know, hey, that's right. You know, sometimes you get a 15-second lead win. Sometimes you get a 1/100th of a second win. You know, it happens. Fuel mileage racing is a part of the sport, and that's the way it's played out. And that fuel mileage race led to our winner, Eric Almirola, who picked up his second win of his career, ending a 156 race winless streak. His last coming at the Summer Daytona race back in 2014. Now has wins at both plate tracks, and with his win now gives each driver at SHR a win in 2018, adding to the Ford SHR dominance in 2018. Only big top team with multiple cars field with a winner for each team, which is a pretty strong dominance indicator, if you ask me. HMS doesn't have a win for all their drivers. Roush doesn't. RCR doesn't. Joe Gibbs doesn't. Stewart Haas Racing, only big powerhouse team with a win for all four drivers. I think that's big, especially with the way the season has gone in terms of individual drivers dominating. Kyle Busch, Kevin Harvick, and Martin Truex Jr., Brad Keselowski, kind of, if you combine their wins as one other driver there in terms of, you know, how it's spread out there. So I think that's big. Now, Kurt Busch's comments at the end of the race. I really don't know how to comment on that. I don't think it's something that it's worth me commenting on. I'm not one to stir the pot from that regard. You know, Kurt Busch comments on not throwing the caution flag. He's made the point. He's been on both ends of that, to where they have and haven't thrown the flag, to where it has and hasn't cost him a win. He's out there wanting the win. I think I will say he obviously wanted the win. Who wouldn't want the win? I get the frustration there. I think what is bigger more than Kurt Busch's comments is NASCAR's transparency issue in terms of when they will and will not throw a caution, debate over whether or not ambulances need to be dispatched to the track. Someone hit the wall, is a window net, all these different factors come into play. I don't think it can be as black and white of, hey, it's Talladega. If there's a last lap wreck and the white flag is out, we are racing to the stripe regardless. I don't think it can get that black and white, because you don't know the severity of the crash. Now, obviously, in this case, everybody was fine. You may not be so lucky the next time, and you may hold that caution flag, and who knows what that time delay, could do. Someone could get burnt, who knows, and I don't like to talk negatively and think that about someone getting hurt. That's, and I don't think anybody else does either, but I'm just saying, so it's a tough call, to give transparency to, I think. I think if there was more consistency, the transparency issue wouldn't be there. And then we know, hey, all right, yes, NASCAR was consistent in their not throwing or throwing the flag. And I think that's where, there needs to be some better things done in that regard. Now, the issue is all right, NASCAR didn't throw the caution flag. If the same thing happens next year, we're going to have the same issue. We're still going to say the same thing. We're going to need to have it happen for a while before we can feel confident in knowing that, okay, NASCAR is acting in a consistent manner from that regard. All right, I digress. Moving along. I think this is big here. There really wasn't that much of a shakeup in the Cup standings, and there's a good reason for that. If we look at our playoff drivers, we had 5 in the top 15 and 7 outside the top 20. Kyle Busch, 26th, Keselowski, 27th, Harvick, 28th, Blaney, 29th, Elliott, 31st, Bowman, 33rd. Truex finished 23rd. He had issues all day. Larson didn't have any speed, but was able to bring it home 11th. Really, the only couple top solid finishes were Logano, top 5, Bowyer, top 2, Almirola with his first there, and Logano, top 5. Outside of that, everyone finished outside the top 20, so that really didn't impact the standings all that much. What we can do is we can remove someone off the winless list for 2018. Obviously, there's a ton of winless people if we're going to look at, who finishes 20th on back. But if we look at our top 16, 20 guys, our winless list now is Blaney, Larson, Hamlin, Johnson, and Bowman in 2018 there. And I don't think that's going to change, if I'm going to be honest with you. The fact that so many playoff guys finish outside the top 20, like I said, few shakeups, couple moves up and down the point standings there. For me, the biggest being that Brad Keselowski is currently on the outside looking in, but only 1 point separate him and Chase. So Bowman needs to get a win to get in. Otherwise, he's out, in my opinion. He's out. I don't know if he's mathematically eliminated, but he is down there on the list. 6 points separate 8th through 11th. 4 points separate 5th through 7th. I think the top 4 are pretty safe. Harvick, Busch, Logano, Kurt Busch, barring a catastrophe. I think the battle and most of the camera time this weekend will be spent on Almirola, Bowyer, Truex, Chase, Blaney and Larson. And I think it should be. Six guys are going to be battling for four spots, and that's going to be fun to watch. I hope it's an exciting mile and a half race. I really do. And that will be this Sunday, Kansas, 2 p.m. Mick Rose is going to be there. Hope he has a blast. Can't wait to hear about that. And we're going to move on to social media. All right, everyone, make sure you're checking out the website, thelaptrafficpodcast.com. Like on Facebook, The Lap Traffic Podcast. Follow on Twitter, at Lap Traffic PC. Subscribe, download, leave a comment, iTunes, Podbean, or wherever you listen to The Lap Traffic Podcast. Don't forget about the giveaway. I feel like I've been stuck around the 3150 mark. I go up, I go down. You know, I know some of that's bots and all that kind of stuff, but I really, really want to give away this autographed 124 Richard Childress diecast and a Lap Traffic t-shirt before the end of the season. 3,500 followers. Thank you to everyone that has, and I know will, continue to retweet that. Means the world. Very much appreciate that. That said, over to some new follower shout-outs. Andy at WStanger724, firefighter and EMT. Thank you for your service. Amanda at AmandaRenal198 from Texas and a big Chase Elliott fan. Joe at Joe Siddle, a big NASCAR fan from that state down south. Ha ha, go blue. Anthony at Straw's Dog, loves Junior and Johnson. Ben at Big Bad Ben 29 fan, a Brad Keselowski fan from Indiana. Don't forget, on the website, you can go to the contact page, fill that out. If you want a koozie, I will be happy to send one out to you. There's a bunch of pictures from everyone that's tweeted me koozie pictures with their favorite beverage, all that good stuff on the website. I update that weekly, so make sure you check that out. And like I said, be on the lookout for the second annual end of the year awards. Can't wait to get into that. And now it's time for a little silly season. The silly season continues to deliver as we make our way through the playoffs. Big news coming out that Johnson Chackenhouse will no longer be our Lucy and Ethel, our Will and Jack, our Sheldon and Leonard, our Rachel and Ross. I could go on. Chackenhouse moving over to the young William Byron. You know, I got to be honest. I think this is a very smart move at the right time. Jimmy, obviously, you know, hey, he wants to beat Tom Brady, you know, and be out there, which is awesome. And he can be, and he should be able to race as long as he wants to. That said, why not spread the knowledge that Chad Knaus can bring to a young younger Cup driver and help develop with Chad's knowledge? Because Chad obviously isn't going to stick around, you know. Who knows? Maybe he does. Maybe he does it for another 10 years, but maybe he doesn't. And you at least want to be able to take advantage of the knowledge that he could bring to help develop a younger driver. Jimmy can go out there and still win with anybody, even though he's winless in 2018. I don't think Jimmy's done winning races by any means. So I think this is a good, solid coaching move with that. Definitely disappointing for you know, the longtime Chad and Jimmy fans out there. But I think it's a good move by HMS from an organization standpoint. Matt D moving over to the 95 at LFR. And we'll also be switching to Toyota. I don't think the Toyota switch was any news, but I definitely think there was still some debate on who was going to get the seat, with potentially Suarez being one of the names in the hat for that one, with it not being confirmed, but although very likely that Martin Truex is going to go to the 19. So awesome and congrats. So happy for Matt D. Definitely looking forward to seeing what he can do over there. That's going to be fun. Still some unknowns. Kurt, probably to the one. Like I said, Martin Truex, probably to 19. And it looks like maybe Suarez now potentially changing manufacturers and maybe going to the 41. Who knows? And then maybe some quiet news that came out. I saw this on Jayski. No more track bar in the car next year per the driver's request, which is interesting. Curious to see, you know, for the longest time, you know, drivers did not have the ability to adjust the track bar in the car. They had to wait to pit stops to make that happen. You know, we saw a couple of weeks ago where Kyle Busch wasn't able to report back what his track bar was at because the digital dash, that there was something wrong with that there. So, you know, definitely was a handicap for him at that race because everybody else did have that. But going back old school, getting rid of the digital track bar adjustment that the drivers have in car, and now will only be able to make those changes when they come down to pit. All right, that's what I got for the silly season. Let's talk some weather and some Michigan football. Oh, yes, hail to the victors, Lap Traffic Nation, and welcome back once again. You can follow him on Twitter, at RaceWeather. Check out the website, raceweather.net. A very big Go Blue welcome to Mr. Aaron Studwell. Sir, Go Blue.
Go Blue.
How are you?
Hail to the victors, Valiant. I am great.
Excellent. Me too. How can you not be? Number six in the country, we're writing our own destiny for the rest of the season here.
Yes, I mean, it's just, you know, one thing. Michigan football confuses me.
That's putting it nicely.
And then Sparty confuses me.
Mm-hmm.
So that may give an indication what I think about the game for this upcoming Saturday.
You know, it's, you know, by pen and paper standards, we should destroy the Spartans here in rivalry week here in the Mitten State. But this game is never predictable. It never comes out. I'm curious the spread over the last. I know MSU's won 8 of the last 10 games, but you know, I'm curious the spread on that, because I know there were some where it was like lopsided. Michigan's opening up 7-point favorites, so I'm very curious.
Yeah, so I'm looking at some stats right now. Michigan, you know, since 92, Michigan State is 9-4 against the spread.
Okay.
8-5 straight up.
8-5. Okay. Yep. That sounds about right.
Okay. 2 years ago, Michigan was 24.5-point favorites and 1 by 9.
Yeah. That was their last win in Spartan Stadium.
Yes.
And then there's the, well, you know, hashtag never forget he's got trouble with the snap. Oh,
oh God.
They play that like every 5 minutes on local radio here, because during the big show anyways, from 2 to 6, because the guy's a Spartan guy, which I get it. It's cool. But yeah, I wouldn't lay points at all on this game, just because I know it's going to be a close one. At least it should be. But I would like to think we're going to come out ahead on this one. Looking back on our pre-season picks that we did, you had them at 7-0. I had them at 6-1, just a different 6-1.
Right, so you're right for the wrong reason.
Yes, yes. And going ahead, I had them beating, we both had them beating the Spartans coming up here. And yes. I can't remember, I had them as a loss with Penn State. I don't remember what you had said for Penn State, but I'm actually going to switch. If they win this week, I think they're going, they're winning out to Columbus.
Yeah, I would agree with that, and I can't remember what I had for Penn State either. But to your earlier point, they opened at five, and it's up to 6.5, 7. But then I thought 10 was too much. And when I went to 10 last week, we were talking about this with Sherwin. I'm like, we thought it was just Michigan money coming in.
It's
I never would have guessed that score.
No, well, and to be honest, even at one point in the fourth quarter, it was 24-7, and I didn't feel like it was 24-7. I thought that game was a lot closer played than what that score was indicative of early in the fourth.
Yeah, and you go and look at the numbers. Badgers had less than 50 offensive plays. That was well below their average.
Yes, yes. It just felt like they were able to, you know, they were getting 3 and 4 yards on every run, it felt like, and it just felt like their time of possession was heavily favored.
Yeah.
You know, you looked at the rush yards, and Patterson's 80-yard run inflated Michigan's run production, you know, run numbers early on in that game.
Right. You're saying Wisconsin was 6.3 yards per carry, but then they only went 2 for 11 on third down. And I think Michigan's going to need to keep State in check. Rashawn Gary is still TBD as well. So I think you're going to watching how Michigan State kind of busted it out of tackles and ran the ball this past week. They need to really tighten up. You walk away from a 25-point win and you have concerns about the rush defense.
Right, exactly. Yep. No, and that's exactly what you're going to get going into Spartan Stadium there. So, all right. How about a little weather for the big game on Saturday afternoon?
Well, you're going to have a cold front passing against your Pleasant Peninsula. we'll look about you on Saturday morning before sunrise. Kickoff weather, cloudy, rain showers, northwest winds 15 to 20 miles per hour, temps in the mid-40s, highs in the upper 40s. It's not going to be a pleasant day for a game, and that's really going to put a focus on, I think the winds are especially going to put a focus on the rushing attack. And, you know, I saw the Shea Patterson run, and all I could think was Forrest Gump running.
Yeah, not the most graceful out there.
No. Run, Shay, run.
I love it. All right, so weather could play a factor, which is a bummer.
I think it's playing a factor on the over-under. Opened at 45, went to 46. Now, 41.5.
Ooh, yep, absolutely. Yep. All right, let's turn our attention to some NASCAR. We head to Kansas this week for some Xfinity and Cup racing. What do we got?
Cloudy, chance of morning showers on Friday. South to southwest winds, 12 to 18 miles an hour. Highs, low to mid-60s, but then we're going to get a cold front Friday night, Saturday morning. The timing's still a little TBD. And then sunny skies, Saturday and Sunday. Highs in the low to mid 60s, lows Saturday morning 42, Sunday morning I'm putting 40. I think it may be generous.
Okay.
So if you're going over the weekend, bundle up, especially if you're camping. It's going to be a brisk one on Sunday morning. A little bit of wind on Saturday afternoon in the afternoon, 10 to 15 miles an hour from the northwest. So kind of behind that front, we're going to have some more cold air moving into the region. So once we get past those showers, which would be coincident with Cup practice, but Cup qualifying is at 6:10 local.
Yeah.
And that's, you know, qualifying under the lights, but you got a day race.
Yeah. I've never been a fan of that. You should qualify in what your expected race conditions should be. So if you're going to run at night, qualify at night. If you're going to run during the day, qualify during the day. But that's just me. That's just me.
No, it's not. It's me, too. So,
fair enough.
So once we get past Friday, we're looking at a good Saturday and Sunday.
Excellent. Fantastic. Well, sir, enjoyed the football talk. Hopefully we are celebrating another big win next week. And great talking to you, and we will talk to you soon. Always great talking to Aaron. Make sure you're checking him out on Twitter at raceweather.net and on the web at race. Oh, I'm sorry. On Twitter at raceweather, on the web raceweather.net. There we go. I got it. Always good to talk some good, solid Michigan wins. And hopefully, Maize and Blue are strong in East Lansing this weekend, picking up another W. All right. It's time to get to everybody's favorite segment. It's time for some lucky dog lap down picks. Everyone, make sure you tweet your picks after the race or call the Wave Around hotline. We got a couple messages to get to in a few minutes here. Wave Around hotline number 248-965-9538. And you can leave me your lucky dog and lap down picks there, and I will play them back. All right, it's time for my picks. My lucky dog of the race weekend has to be Eric Almirola. To be able to come back after heartbreak and get the W. That shows heart, shows tenacity, it shows will, it shows everything that a playoff team needs to be doing with five races to go. So Eric Almirola and the number 10 team are getting my lucky dog of the race weekend. My lap down, I'm giving it to three drivers. I am actually four. I'm giving it to Truex, Elliott, Keselowski, Blaney. Those were not the guys who I thought would be lined up 7th through 11th in the playoffs right now. So, you know, that you know, not that I got anything against those guys, but I definitely thought that, like I said, they wouldn't be sitting where they're at right now. So that's who's getting my lapped down. Over to your tweeted responses. Scott at 1985 Wagner's Lucky Dog. Eric Almirola, the curse is gone. A lap down. Keselowski, string start to the chase. Outside looking in for the next round. Mick at GoDucks 42 underscore Mix Lucky Dog. SHR, class of the fields, hands down. The kryptonite, fuel. Couldn't agree with you more, Mick. The kryptonite is definitely fuel with SHR. Lap down, Chevy, Toyota. Their plate program is getting trashed by Ford. Better fix it before 2019, the year of the tapered spacer plate. I love that, Mick. Have fun at Kansas. Timothy at T-Trip14's Lucky Dog. SHR for dominating the race, and Almirola finally getting that win with SHR. Lap down, plate racing, or whatever they call it now. I love it. Kenny at STL Cards, Rule 4 Evs. Lucky Dog goes to SHR. Need I say more? They completely dominated the field for 95% of the race. Lap down has to go to the officiating crew. While I like seeing them race to the stripe, sometimes caution rules change for unknown reasons. Should have been a win for Big Bro. Mike at Mike Tuck 12's Lucky Dog. Almirola finally getting that win. I think we're seeing a trend here with Lucky Dogs. Lucky Dog, Almirola, finally getting a win this season, making all four SHR cars with a win this year. A lap down for Mike, the guys that ran out of fuel, Blaney, Harvick, Brad, etc. Brandon at Brandon K. Carl's Lucky Dog goes to Eric Almirola. Redemption for not only last week, but for the Daytona 500 as well. Lap down goes to the fans who downvoted Jeff Gluck's Talladega poll. What's wrong with you people? That was a damn good race. Brett at B. Wayne 8589's Lucky Dog. Definitely Eric for finally getting the win after being so close. Lap down Kurt for running out of gas after having the best car all day. Eddie at 3Wide underscore Fast Eddie's Lucky Dog SHR. That hammer down performance in Dega with Eric in the win column pretty much sums up the season in a nutshell. True story. A lap down, Bowman the Showman with the need to make magic happen at Kansas. Couldn't agree with you more there. John at D Nader's Lucky Dog. Truck command to start the engines, auctioneer style. I like that, John. That is crucial because the command to start the engines on Sunday was horrible. Oh, with the let's get lit, hashtag Chloe Yunker. Lap down, Kurt Busch, that was dominance on a restrictor plate, and have that taken away, breaks the heart. Totally get it. All right, let's get over to the waiver on hotline. Got a couple messages on that one.
Hey, Brandon, it's Kathleen at KHI Fan. I think the race was just okay. It wasn't your typical Talladega race, which was kind of unfortunate. But watching that unbelievable dominance by Stuart Haas teammates was just so cool to see. Sure, I'm biased, but over the years, I've had to hear the comment about you don't have to like them, but you've got to respect them. And I think that kind of applies here to all the people who maybe weren't so happy about what was going on yesterday. Now it's just our turn. And as far as the comments about Kurt at the end of the race, sure, it sucks to have lost race after, you know, all that dominance, but sometimes with those calls, I don't think you can make them as black and white as Kurt and, you know, a lot of the fans seem to want to do. I think a lot of them are very circumstantial and, you know, they have to make a decision one way or the other. I don't know that you can always say if this happens, you've got to, you know, throw the yellow or, you know, whatever. I don't know. I'm just very undecided about that. I'm happy. I think that there was a green flag finish. It seemed like, you know, we didn't really need to throw the caution. And sure, it sucked for Kevin and Kurt, but I think I'm happy that we got the green flag finish out of it. My lucky dog has to go to Almirola. He's another one of those drivers that, you know, not so long ago was at probably the lowest point he's ever had in his career. And, you know, he gets an opportunity where he can come to a place and shine like he has been. I'm just so happy for him. And how could you not love the fact that somebody's getting free bacon for life? And my lapdown, it kind of has to go to Stuart Haas Racing, because you kind of think, why did we waste all those years with Danica in that car? I get it. It was money related. And maybe if we didn't, we wouldn't have the funding to be where we are now. You know, and everything happens for a reason. Maybe if she would have gone earlier, you know, circumstances would have changed. And I don't know. It kind of irritates me that she was in that car all those years. But anyways, it is what it is. But as long as we've got it going now, I'm happy with it. Anywho, that's all I got for this week. Talk to you later. Bye.
Oh, Kathleen, thanks for calling in. Appreciate that. It's funny. I do not listen to the Wave Around hotline calls until I play them back on the show. And I just think that it's funny that you basically said the same thing that I said earlier in terms of the Kurt Busch incident, in that it can't be black and white. But I think NASCAR can definitely do a better job in their consistency. And it's going to take a while for people to trust the call that's made until we're able to see some consistency there. So I'm with you there. Thanks for calling in. We got one more call on the Wave Around hotline. You know who it is. It's Mr. Andrew Kancian.
Hey, what's up, buddy? I got a lot to say on this Wave Around hotline, and honestly, some of it's going to be about the race probably, so stay tuned for that. In terms of the race, I mean, I thought it was boring, so I'm going to put the whole race a lap down, except Almirola. Good for him for winning. That was cool to see. The other lap down is me. I blew a motor this weekend, so that's really not something I'm proud about. And I get out of the bathroom, and my mom looks at me and just goes, really? And I'm like, yeah, I had a good time tonight. That's what happens when you have open bars at weddings. I don't know if you expected anything different. Another lap down is my buddy, who I walked back to my house at school, and I see there's a hole in my bedroom door. My buddy punched a hole in my bedroom door because they had a party that weekend, so he's going to have to owe me another door, so he's a lap down. I found out it was him after he said, I think I found out who broke your bedroom door, and then he showed me his hand, so he's on the shit list for a while. This one's a hybrid lap down and lucky dog. It's my buddy's girlfriend who reached out to me and said that, because I didn't have her phone number saved, that she was a police officer on campus and that I was getting charged for the parties that we throw, and turns out that I was not a police officer. So she got me on that one, so I'm pretty dumb and gullible for that. And then the last lucky dog hybrid lap down is going to be me tonight, because there's a good chance on this rainy Monday that I blow another motor, since it's my buddy's 21st birthday. So we are going to get smacked tonight. And I'm going to set the over-under on his ball motors tonight. I think at 6.5 is fair, because we're going to force him to do a 40 hands. So you have a good day, bud.
Oh, man, I love getting that voicemail each week. Oh, you never know what you're going to get. Well, actually, you do know what you're going to get. You're going to get a trip down memory lane back to college. And, oh, man, the memories, the blown motors, man. I think I got to add Andrew Kancian to my lap down for a blown motor. I mean, dude, you're better than this, man. You've partied with me and Sherwin and Rusty, the PETM podcast. You are stronger than a blown motor, my good man. And I expect better from you. I love it. Oh, hope you guys had fun at the 21st birthday. Cannot wait for next week's call. All right. Oh, it's in the ditch and I'm by myself. I love it. All right. It's time to get to some fantasy. Don't forget to submit your picks by 5 o'clock Eastern Standard Time. Keep the interaction going on Twitter. Just 5 races left to go in segment 3. No one saw that Timothy Peters win in the Truck Series. No one picked him. And only one player picked Eric Almirola. And you're not going to believe who that was. It was Mr. Andrew Kancian. who also dominated with week high points, 92 with his pick of Almirola and Gilliland. I also think he's got the biggest week margin win from first place to second place for the week. Andrew came in at 92. Next closest was 72 points with David James, the MOATF podcast, and Tommy Witt, all who took Logano and Sadler. We now have a tie for first place with 435 points with David James and Kayla Jordan. In second place with 426 is Jamie Rowden. In third with 419 is Paul Hollenbach. In fourth with 416 is Jeff Legg. In the top five, you heard her on the waiver on hotline earlier with 415 points, Kathleen McDonald. In six, Mr. Mick Rose with 406. We got a two-way tie for seventh with Mr. Andrew Kansian and John Elliott with 405. Chloe Yunker in eighth with 402. Chris Lowther in ninth with 392. And Tommy Witt wraps out the top 10 with 390. It's close. It is still anybody's game for segment three. Over to the cumulative standings. Tommy Witt in first with 3193. Chloe Yunker in second with 3158. David James in third with 3090. John Entwistle in fourth with 3070. And Mick Rose wraps out the cumulative top five with 3046. Now, you may have noticed the MOATF podcast came out with their new show earlier this afternoon, and we're bragging because they have regained the lead over me, cracking jokes that I was only able to beat them for 1 week. They are in 12th with 385, and I am in 14th with 375. So I'm only 10 points out. And you know what? They put themselves at a disadvantage. Well, obviously not, because they've beat me. But technically, they put themselves at a disadvantage because they make their picks on their show, which comes out before my show. And it ain't over. It ain't over by a long shot. And more importantly, I'm banking on my win over David with our T-shirt bet that we placed a little while ago. That is going to be a much more satisfying and delicious taste than them beating me in the fantasy. That said, my picks, not that great. Yeah, Ben Rhodes finished 16th, and Kyle Larson, who finished 11th. That said, it's time for the picks. We go back cookie cutter racing and head back to the mile and a half track of Kansas. Also, keep in mind, of the last five races, three are at mile and a half tracks. Guess who our most recent winners are at this track? You guessed it. It's the big three. Harvick with two wins. Martin Truex Jr. with two wins. And Kyle Busch with one. Some of our playoff drivers who could be considered to be in must-win situations to move on. Bowman, Larson, Blaney. And while they are potentially in must-win situations, they are also chasing their first win of 2018. The big three, in my opinion, have been pretty quiet in the playoffs outside Kyle's win back in round one. Do they heat things up to finish out the playoffs at their bread-and-butter tracks? We will find out Sunday. Right now, it's time for my picks. Over to the Xfinity Series. Why not? He sounded pretty confident on the show today. I'm homering out. Mr. Matt Tift is who I'm going with. Over to the Cup Series. Martin Truex Jr. needs to start making some noise if he wants to get to Homestead. So what better place than a mile and a half track? So I am taking Mr. Martin Truex Jr. Those are my picks. Can't wait to see who you guys pick. You know why? Because I'm doing the league this week. Mick Rose is going to be at Kansas. So, MOATF podcast, when you want to complain about the standings this week, it's all on me because Mick's taking a week off. It's all on me this week. All right, Lap Traffic Nation, that is going to be a wrap for episode 95 of the Lap Traffic Podcast. And make sure you check out the website, thelaptrafficpodcast.com. Like on Facebook, The Lap Traffic Podcast. Follow on Twitter, at Lap Traffic PC. Subscribe, download iTunes, Podbean, or wherever you listen to podcasts. Don't forget about the contest. 3,500 Twitter followers giving away the autograph 124 Richard Childress diecast. Big thanks to Richard Childress Racing member, Mr. Matt Tift, for coming on the show this week. That was awesome to talk to him. Working on a guest for next week. don't get caught chasing the lucky dog. Make sure you tune in each and every week to the Lap Traffic Podcast. I'm out of here. See ya. Go Blue!